All right. Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
All right, Chauncey. We got quite a few things we want to talk about today. But, of course, you know, we always like to keep this segment on the light side, and we always want to do some current events. And I think we ought to do one real quickly about the NBA Finals.
Okay. My boy Kyle Lowry, he made it.
He bounced back? Did he bounce back?
I was telling my students about he was shooting, he was practicing by himself after game one.
After the game.
And then look what happened.
He didn't really get back to himself even in the second game or the third game, but the brother stuck with it.
Yes, he did. And his teammates and the coach just believed.
Right.
They believed in the young man.
He was, you know, he was in a little bit of a funk. But he could shoot his way out of it. See, that's what shooters do.
He hit big shots when he needed to.
Right, he did. He wasn't as consistent had he been during the season.
That's
right. But when it came crunch time in that game seven.
Game seven.
He really showed out.
He really showed out. So it was about three games I can get him player of the game. But
yeah, I was impressed with him. I know you brought it up at our last show about the struggles. You know.
Yeah, we did a lesson on it in class on how you can persevere through everything and I was like, look at him. He practiced right after the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back. I think they lost that next game. But then third game, he put on the show and pushed them through. And on the other side of the ball, you got Oklahoma, OKC, and San Antonio. And that was a shocker.
After that first game, right, we knew the blowout took place. And
yes,
it's like,
it
this is a four-game walk, man. They gonna take these OKC guys out. But see what happened.
Not with Westbrook on your team.
And they dogged Westbrook out.
Yeah,
you know, the commentators did. And he said, you know, I probably didn't play my best game. I probably took some shots I didn't need to take. He said, but I'm going to fix it.
He did. That man got heart. And then now they won a game up on Golden State.
At Golden State.
With Kevin Durant shooting 10 for 30.
Okay. Now, how many games did Golden State lose at home this year, man?
Man, I can't.
Maybe one or two. It wasn't many.
One or two. I think Damian Lillard handed them one in the regular season.
Okay.
And I don't know the other teams. It
couldn't have been many. No. But, you know, the NBA is it's about who really wants it, man.
But then, you know, that's depending on what kind of coach Steve Curry is. You know, he's the same guy that got punched for Michael Jordan in the finals.
Right.
In practice. And he hit that shot against Utah. He probably telling them, like, look, it's time to step it up.
Oh, yeah. I think that was an awakening for him. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, they a little brass.
Yeah, I don't say they had too much fun. Basketball, you're supposed to have fun
and
compete. But they be out there celebrating a lot. Shots.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, a little showmanship going on. And the brothers from OKC said they was ready to play some basketball. So.
They was ready to put on their chef hat and say, here goes some humble pie.
Okay.
I can see both of them brothers with a chef hat on, leading to the side. Like, here goes some humble pie for you.
Yeah, looking forward to game two. I think that's going to tell us exactly how this series is going to play out. Yeah.
And then you already see how Cleveland and Toronto, Kyle Lowry took a stab at LeBron, said he's the best player, but you got to worry about Steph Curry, you know.
Oh.
And then his coach tried to backpedal for him. It's like, LeBron, really, you can't win without LeBron. He's the best player. So they already know, like, don't make that brother too mad because LeBron are going to a phase where he scored 40 because Curry's doing great. He's in his prime.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's always going to be the LeBron factor. LeBron's name is going to always be mentioned in the top three players every year. So you can't.
Yeah.
And if I was a player, I'm trying to play with LeBron. I could just play my role.
Because he can do all of it.
Everything.
Okay? And you don't want that billboard material. You don't give him anything else to boost him, man, because it could get ugly in a hurry. So they're a young team, and, you know, I'm pretty sure the coach has talked to that young man about the things you say in the media this time of the year because, you know, LeBron will go off on you anyway, but you don't want to give him any extra billboard material. So
that's right. That's
right. Having fun watching.
And then the ping pong ball come out tonight too, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Okay, we might see about our little Muskegon young fella.
Might fall into somebody's hands, man.
Somebody's lap.
Yeah. So that's tonight, and then the draft is next month. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. It really is, especially like you said, we got that little added incentive to watch because we got somebody that is in the draft.
That's right, from our city.
Yeah.
You know, that's big. I like – that's dreams right there. And then we just came back from Detroit today. We spent all day over there in Detroit, left out at like 6 in the morning. Came back this almost like 30 minutes ago. Got a chance to see Dave Bing speak, Man of Courage,
really?
Freedom Fund Award, essay contest, an essay we competed in. I mean, we didn't have too many people that placed, but I know Miss Kimberly Simmons, one of my coworkers, her daughter placed
in okay.
the top like 8 students
in
out of 500 essays. Yes,
that's awesome.
In the state, and that's a big essay, and the grand prize was $5,000. Yeah, big money.
It's a nice prize.
You know, when you got Ford sponsoring something, it's big. But Dave Bing was there; he was inspiring, talking about his career. And some other brothers that are men of courage. Saka Singor, he has a book called "Righting My Wrongs." Another brother that went on from Missouri that went on the 7-day fast.
Oh, okay.
They got the athletes to do that.
Right.
You know, and the other guy, Blaze, that owns the construction company that played for the Lions. And just
Benny Blaze. Yeah, yep. Out of Miami. Yep.
So just looking at their lives and just, you know, breaking it down and just something for inspiring for the kids to see that the potential that you have today can be a blessing for you tomorrow. So that was great. That long ride was worth it. It's about 4 hours that we stayed there, but
yeah, that yeah. And, you know,
the kids need that.
Is that we always hear about the bad things that happens to our sports athletes, but I'm sure that was refreshing to see, like you said, like the Dave Bings and the Blaze of the world talk about their success after the sports.
Yeah, and Dave was so he put the symbolism in his having being legally blind. Even though he had sight in that left eye.
Really?
Yes, and he also put the respect in coming from a city like, you know, Washington, D.C., Baltimore.
Tough city.
And growing up and moving to Detroit and being drafted in Detroit, he didn't know nobody. And when he graduated from college and he got picked by the Pistons, and then when he retired, he went back to D.C. for a minute and said, I'm going back to Detroit.
He went back to Detroit, because he had a steel company.
Yep, but then not only the steel company, he just said the relationships and – something about people in this area in Michigan that the blue collar people just had the love for him, and that's how he's been.
Oh yeah, they loved him some Dave Beam in Detroit, and plus he was the mayor at one point in time. Unfortunately, it came at a time when the city was
in
going
transition.
Through its worst times.
Yeah,
right.
In transition, but I think that he was, and looking at where is that now, I know some people that's close to him. Just seeing the transition of that he was in a transition period where he laid some foundational things to move some things on. So he was a great piece, and just to be a mayor. A business owner, I know he's described the story of going from the first couple of years of making $10 million as a business, starting out with 4 people, to being able to hire 1,300 and making $300 million a year. So it's like...
That's wild. It's big.
We're talking about a brother from D.C., from the hood.
Okay.
Blind in one eye at 5 years old, you know, persevering.
Well, he had a handicap.
Yes,
he was handicapped.
So nobody can't... You can't use your handicap as an excuse. So it's just... I just look at that being a rookie of the year. He led the NBA in scoring. In the time in the 60s, so he got drafted during the time when the riots was around, right?
Okay, yeah.
Downtown in Cobo, that's the
that
the
right
Black
downtown.
Detroit or something, what they call it, by Woodward.
Yeah, it's right there on Jefferson and Woodward.
You know,
Cobo Hall.
That's the area, you know. So that's just powerful and significant just talking about that. And just that's what I've been doing lately, man. So it's just been good things. It's keeping me woke, you know.
Good.
Just keep my day long.
Right, that's good for you, man. You're young. You can handle it.
Yeah, but it's been a blessing to be with those kids and just working in the community in that capacity.
That's
to see
great.
The gifts of,
great,
of later life.
That you take our kids and expose them to those type of events, because I think those are meaningful type of events that will help inspire our young men and women to go on and do good and great things. So that's awesome, man.
Something he said that was very powerful, and I do appreciate my staff at Oakview, too. They always are. I have some crazy ideas, and they're always willing to help and let me to let me be who I need to be, I guess. But he said this. He was talking to the crowd of kids, and he said, when you get your education, don't just run off and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Come back.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, you're at the right time. Like, even in our city, it's the right time because it's time for growth.
I truly believe it.
And new industry is about to come in. And I want to see my community with people and kids that I remember being my students, owning businesses and doing things throughout the Muskegon community. So I've I like that testimony he gave about right. that.
Community leaders, business yeah. owners, homeowners.
Because if you grew up here and you persevere to become someone, to get your education and establish yourself as a doctor, a lawyer, teacher, whatever, business mm-hmm. owner, entrepreneur, and now you own a stake in this community, just imagine what you'll be vested.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, you'll be others. Vested. And that's getting to it, a topic today.
Right.
You know, thinking about owning, home ownership, the Homestead Act, covering your homestead. You know, I had a scenario, and I was thinking about it. That's one question I want to ask you. I know you're an expert in this field. It says, I got an example for you, Tony. Okay. It says, for example, you purchase a house in 1995 for like $130,000.
Okay.
And if your home appreciated an average of 10% over these years, let's over a 12-year period, and say now that home is worth $500,000, $600,000, you know, okay. whatever that number may be over this 12-year period. Probably 400. However, your homeowner's insurance may have only increased through its automatic inflation adjustments, or mm-hmm. less than one half that amount. So now you got this house that you own. You're making your house payments for these 12 years, and now you're in a gray area. So mm-hmm. you're not. They don't got you in no red zone, or okay. you know, you know, they did zoning back in the 60s and 70s where they kept you in areas where the property probably depreciated, but you somewhere where you purchase a property and it's
And it's appreciated. It's appreciated in value.
Every year. Right. But now you got this insurance policy. How do you configure that? How does that work? When like my house, I bought a house for $120,000, and then 12 years from now, it's worth possibly double or the number increase. What's the margin on my insurance?
Okay, simple. It's pretty simple, really, how this works. Like you said, you purchased the house for $130,000, right? At the time when you purchased that home, An evaluation was done on reconstruction.
Okay.
Okay. And reconstruction is based on square footage, the cost of construction materials, labor. And there was an algorithm that's used to come up with that number. So you may have purchased that home for $150,000, but it was actually insured for $250,000. Okay. Because although you purchased it for that much, if it were to burn down the next day that you purchased it, you couldn't rebuild it for the price you paid for it.
Okay, so
times out of 10.
I've heard this term, it's called actual cash value coverage. And I hear this term like you insure a house up to 80%. So
you can do 80%. Mm-hmm.
So how do you get the number? That's new construction you're talking about, right?
Well, no, not actually. No. That is, again, based on the fact that what it would cost to rebuild the home. Because the deal is this. It's between you, the bank, and the seller to come up with the price that you're going to purchase the home for.
Mm, right. So you might need an arbitrator or somebody to help you negotiate that deal.
Right. And so the bank says to you, okay, we're going to allow you X amount of dollars towards the loan.
Okay.
The seller says, yes, I'm willing to sell you that house based on that number that the bank is allowing you to mortgage at. The insurance company says then, okay, we're going to insure this home based on reconstruction, not necessarily the market value, because you purchased at the market value. Insurance company is going to offer you a policy at reconstruction. Okay, so therefore, when you look at the square footage of the home, the amenities of the home, it said, okay, if this house was to get torn down by a tornado, get burned down tonight, it would actually cost us as an insurance company $250,000 to rebuild your home.
So that's I have a term here. Is that called full replacement cost?
Full replacement cost.
Okay. Right. So that's when that 10-20% come in.
Right.
Extra. Okay. So then it's different from insurance, I'm up to 80%. Instead of doing that, you got the full replacement cost. That's full why replacement. You had that overage there.
Right. Okay. And then like we at Farmers, we give you an additional 25% on top of whatever that number is. So if it's $250,000, we'll give you what they call extended replacement cost.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a beautiful thing.
Because there may be some other things that, you know, you want to do to your new home that your old home didn't have, so we're going to extend that additional coverage to you.
Because that could probably be like ventilation or
ventilation.
Installation.
Yep, installation.
Central air, probably.
Central air, you know, because now, like with air conditioning, you know, the laws have been changed now where you can't use Freon anymore. It's an R12 that you have to use as a refrigerant.
So then that's in those personal units, isn't it?
Well, it's in any unit. That's an air conditioner.
Okay.
Okay. You can no longer purchase Freon. It's an it destroys the ozone layer of the earth. It's been determined.
People just put them in their cars.
That's right.
And yeah. Stuff be on the ground.
Yeah. So now the laws have changed. So when you go out, you know, if you bought your house 15 years ago and it had a unit that carried refrigerant, you can't purchase that anymore. So you have to go to an upgraded type of air conditioner with an R12. And then also, you know, like it's the energy efficient things that you purchase now more so than you had back in the day. So your furnace would be an energy efficient. You know, the appliances that you lost in the fire were destroyed. So now you got to purchase, you know, all those kind of appliances now that are more energy efficient.
Okay.
Okay. So then you got, not only do you have your dwelling costs, which if you look at on any homeowner's policy, if it's 100% of that, they'll cut that in half and give you personal property coverage. So as an example, if the homeowner's policy is reconstruction of $300,000, then you get $150,000 in personal property. So if it's a total loss, you add the two together.
Okay.
You add the $300,000 plus the $150,000 that gives you $450,000.
Okay. Does that go with your contents too, though?
Yeah. All yeah, right. You got $150,000 to go buy contents.
All right.
The $300,000 is to reconstruct your home with.
Ah, yes. I've had a client that I helped with her credit like that. She lived out in a ranch home out in the country, mm-hmm. and the house burned down totally.
Okay.
But at the time, I think they were behind on their mortgage.
That's possible. A lot of people were upside down. Yeah.
So she was behind on her mortgage. So when they came in with that check, they came, like you said, it was a split.
Mm-hmm.
They gave her a big check for the contents.
Okay.
And then, secondly, they went for either full replacement costs or this term right here, and I want you to elaborate on this one, guaranteed replacement costs.
Well, again, guaranteed replacement costs is basically the same as replacement cost.
Okay.
Okay. Industry has changed in a way that in the past you never had an option to insure your home at current market value or replacement costs. So the guaranteed replacement cost is basically just a marketing tool, if you will, because most people feel more comfortable if I were to tell you you have guaranteed replacement costs versus replacement costs. It just makes you feel better.
Guaranteed when somebody advertises money back guaranteed.
Right, right. It just makes you feel better.
Okay.
Concept is the same.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a scenario where an individual that's in a neighborhood, and we got them, we got pockets where they've been there. The neighborhood has gone through a transformation. A lot of the folks have moved out.
It might get a little darker.
And
a little more dark meat.
Okay.
A little more light meat.
and the neighborhood becomes more rental.
Yes, right.
Prone than homeowners.
Then they start saying it's crime prone.
Yeah.
Poverty prone.
So you know? Now what does that do to the value of your home? Although you're a homeowner, okay, you keep your property up, but houses to the left of you, houses to the right of you have not been kept up.
And your property starts to depreciate.
Okay, it goes down.
I had another situation, like you're talking about a situation like that. I had a situation where I was helping the client and they were trying to sell their house.
Okay.
And they did a new construction. And it was just like that. And everybody else's property was like rental properties. And the comps against that property that they were living in, they couldn't get the...
He couldn't get
the value. But they ended up, they ended up selling the home and getting a blessing because somebody really wanted that home. But it was like,
yeah,
it was a struggle. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about, looking at like the value of a home when you buy it. Will you buy it in an area that appreciates or you lose money when you buy something so beautiful?
Well, again, that's why in real estate it's location, location, location. Because you can buy a house in a certain particular neighborhood and pay X amount of dollars for it 10 years from now, if the rest of the homes have not kept their value. Again, remember I told you when it comes to this deal, it's between you, the bank. So somebody comes in and they say,
arbitrator,
well,
you're going to have to have a lawyer.
Well,
if the
lawyer won't help you because the value is what it is.
What it is.
Okay, we can't do anything about
so
that.
So look, I'm sorry, I cut it off. So even in an accident, and like if a house burned down, and I got this house I bought for $150,000. I'm living in this neighborhood that's depreciating. I'm in trouble then.
with the insurance company, you're still going, you're good with the insurance company.
Okay.
Because they're saying that we're going to still replace your house
at that,
at the 150.
Okay.
Although it may not be worth it.
So they're taking a loss.
No, no, they're not taking a loss, because this is the caveat to that. Now, if that happened, if your house did burn down in this part of town where you've seen the property values go down.
Yes.
Why would you rebuild your house in that same neighborhood? Okay.
That's a way out.
So now you're negotiating with the insurance company.
Now you're talking about what they do.
So I'm ready to go shopping. Okay.
Like
you still owe me the money.
That's right.
Okay. But I choose not to rebuild
in that area,
in that neighborhood.
So now you're taking away from that area now. That area is struggling from blight.
So be it. But I do not want to make an investment. So I would go look for another house on the market.
Okay.
For sale in another part of town. Because the insurance company still has to pay me
that money.
So now you're in negotiations to say, okay, the house that I was in, you were going to pay me $150,000 based on reconstruction. I found a house that's $100,000 that I can move into.
Okay, now let's look at these numbers. We got $150,000.
Okay.
All right.
Now, the insurance company say, okay.
Arbitrator.
We're good with that. We'll pay you because we've just saved 50 grand. Mm. Okay, we're not gonna buy the house
and give you 50
and 50 grand. Don't work like that.
I know some people be thinking like that. Some people do.
No. So then they got it's at 150, so they got 75,000 now to go buy the personal property to furnish the house.
The contents.
Right. So in the meantime, you say, well, if the house burns down.
So they get half of that. So this is 150, then they get 75 for the contents.
Right.
That's not
so
a bad
whatever your number is for your dwelling, you always cut it in half. And that's what the insurance.
That's
what
I've seen that on those papers, 150.
Right.
Yeah, 100,000, 50,000, if it's like that. I've seen that on some declaration pages. Declaration pages, all the details that you will have.
That is your policy in a snapshot.
Okay.
Okay, there's a lot of other stuff that goes in that's in the behind the policy, but that's just like the snapshot of your policy.
The resume of your.
Of your coverage.
Okay.
Okay. So the other question is, says, okay, if my house burned down, I don't have any place to live. And I haven't decided whether or not I want to rebuild or buy another house. I'm basically homeless.
And you could be like that. You could be in a hotel. Won't they put you in a hotel or something?
Right. So if you look on your policy, there's a percentage that the insurance company pays for called loss of use.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay. Which is normally 25% of whatever the coverage is for the dwelling. Everything's based on that dwelling price. So that puts you at about 35 grand, okay? So you can actually go rent another apartment or rent a house, stay in a hotel, buy clothes, buy food, all the things that you would normally do if you were in your house with a limit of 35 grand. So until you make a decision on rebuilding or repurchasing another home, that's where that money comes in at.
Okay, now going through all that, what happens to your insurance rates? Like, if you get an accident like that and it just happens.
Chances are, Chauncey, it won't be that. It won't go up.
Okay.
It won't go up. I'm going to tell you how.
I know they're going to call the police in and do their investigation.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
They're going to do their due diligence. Oh, no, I know that.
I've had some that were not legitimate claims.
Fraudulent.
Okay.
Yes.
I've had them.
Okay. I'm just keeping it real. 103.7.
That's another story.
That's all. I'm keeping it real with them, though.
That's right.
So don't think that you can go out and say, oh, I'm going to go get this money. Okay.
No.
Don't mess up your investment.
Insurance companies, man, they got investigative departments.
Now somebody follow you around.
That's Oh, yeah. And today with all the cameras and, the technology, trust me, if you tell them a story and they think they got holes in it, they have private investigators, which are guys that are retired state police officers, FBI, CIA. They retire. They get a full retirement check, and they just doing this as a sideline. So they do a very good job of investigating any kind of a claim that looks a little bit out of the ordinary. Because they've seen it all. Trust me. There's not much they haven't seen.
They've seen everything.
And homeowners insurance rates have been on the rise throughout the country. It's because of the natural disasters. When we look and we see there's a tornado, down in Alabama, like
Mississippi. Texas had a lot of them this past summer.
Texas is the worst state for an insurance company to do business from a homeowner standpoint. I was at a conference this past week.
You get some beautiful
week.
Homes there for some great prices, too.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. But you know what a homeowner's policy costs in the state of Texas?
Come on.
Average.
Give me it. Let's go.
$11,000. That's
why the house so cheap then.
Average. Yeah.
You get a beautiful house for a cheaper price, but the insurance is a killer.
This guy was telling us, he said, in the state of Texas, all right, they have hurricanes.
That's right.
They have tornadoes.
Tornado Valley.
They have floods.
Hailstorms.
He said this past 2 weeks ago, they had a hailstorm in Texas. The hail was the size of softballs, oranges, and he says, can you imagine the damage
to the cars, like you told
to the homes a couple weeks and ago. Cars for something that's dropped from 40,000 feet. So this is basically, a hail is basically a ball of ice.
A hole in the roof.
Hole in the roof. He says they even had claims where the marble in people's homes, right, the hail come through the roof and busted the marble in their homes, be it their kitchen, their bathrooms. This is how bad it was. And he said it was only a couple of weeks ago that they had these horrendous floods. He said right now, and just from the floods, they haven't gotten all the money yet for the hailstorm, but they were at about $4 billion in claims.
That brings up something else. Now, like the word writer, would you have to have a writer in there for something like that extra?
No, not for that.
So if you own a home and you say, I got insurance, but what if you live in a floodplain? Then you live in this Tornado Valley and all these places. You don't have to have an amendment to your insurance?
No. The only time you got to have an amendment is when it's in a flood zone.
Okay.
And the federal government determines if what's it's a flood zone.
And then they had those signs that posted that, too. They'll post
right.
That.
You can't just go out and buy flood insurance if your area that you live in is not determined a flood zone.
So what if a catastrophe like that happened and it's not a flood zone?
Then it's up to you and your insurance company to determine how they're going to pay you. Chances are you're going to get paid. The people that lives along Muskegon River,
yes.
Okay, that is a flood zone. Now, I have never, in my lifetime, seen a flood in, I mean, we've got high water.
Yes.
Okay, Laketon, Sherman Streets, those kind of things. But a flood, see, we don't know what a flood is. We don't have don't even have a clue.
I lived in Mississippi. I don't see.
Okay, but the folks that have been in Michigan, they don't know. Okay, but
I'm gonna wake up your car floating down the street.
Right. So I'm gonna give you some quick. I'm gonna run down and tell you all the things that are just purely covered in your policy.
Okay.
With no riders, wind or hail, explosions, aircraft, plane running your house, it's covered. If a car run through your house, it's covered. Smoke, theft, vandalism, falling objects, weight of ice, snow or sleet, freezing of a pipe. Heating, air conditioning, and all other such household systems are already covered. So there's really, the only time you need a rider is if you have like a collection of, say, comic books, expensive comic books, guns, jewelry, coins, tennis shoes, things like that. You need to have a rider, furs. But other than that, for the most part, most of the things are covered in your policy. One of the things that most people don't know about is gradual leakage.
That's when the house settling, they call that settling?
No, if you got a two-bedroom, two-story house, and the piping runs through upstairs, and you have a very small leak in one of the pipes,
and you see that,
and you never know about it.
Until you see a stain or something.
10 years, 20 years, and all of a sudden, the ceiling falls in, or the floor falls in, that's gradual leakage.
Would that also go with mold damage?
No, it's totally different.
Okay.
And it's not covered. Gradual leakage is not covered.
So the pipes can be sweating.
Well, sweating pipes won't do that.
No, they won't do that.
Because they're going to be insulated. But it's about maintaining your house. In other words, as a homeowner, that's the key
Your inspections.
You every have year, then, like certain amount of responsibility.
Like you look at your insurance once a year, you should get a home inspection once a year.
Or you can actually do it yourself to a certain degree.
Okay.
Okay. Like you say, just go check all your pipes out, look for any leaks, any stains in your ceiling. If you see any sign that says I might have a problem, then you need to get on it, take care of it, because an insurance homeowner's policy is not a maintenance policy. It's not a maintenance policy. Mm. It's for those really unforeseen, unexpected acts of nature. Okay? But it's not a maintenance policy.
Wow. That's some powerful stuff right there. That's audience, that's getting to it.
Yeah.
That's getting to it. I just, you know, it's just something I was thinking about that I was looking at over the weekend. It's crazy that one question can lead into a whole segment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, we haven't even talked about liability yet.
I know. I was talking about liability because I be jogging. We be jogging on the beach on Saturdays. Okay. And sometimes he be having dogs and, you know, just like we be running. I be thinking like, and that was going to be my next question about the liability. How is that? How does that work? Like, I'm jogging on the beach on a Saturday morning and the dog bite me on somebody's yard. I'm going through back trail.
Well, you need to either get a hold of the dog or the owner. Well,
I'll get a hold of the dog. Dog, he'll be alive no more.
You don't get the dog till I get your personal information, because he is definitely liable, especially if he's out on the beach and his dog's not on a leash.
That's right. And that's what I tell the kids when we're running. I say, don't worry about nothing.
Nope.
Don't worry about it.
You know, the only problem is you got to track this guy down. But in the day, you know, always run with your camera or whatever. At least you get a picture of the guy, the dog,
license plate.
Because 9 times out of 10, if he's out there on that beach somewhere, he's got a homeowner's policy somewhere that he's carrying about $300,000 to $500,000 of liability coverage. And, yes, the owner is definitely liable.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Even if you're walking down the street and the dog get out of the fence, he is liable. Yeah. Yep. Golf course. If he's playing golf and he hit the guy in the head in the next hole with the golf ball, he is liable.
Wow. His homeowner's insurance.
Homeowner's insurance will pay for his liability, man. Wow. Yeah. And again, like I said, that's another topic we could talk about and we should talk about it, especially during this time of the year when people have an open houses.
That's right.
And things of that nature. There is an
exposure. Slip and fall. With food poisoning?
Yeah, food poisoning is a liability.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they can't cook. Okay.
And please, don't let them be serving no alcohol.
Ooh, Lord.
That's another case of liability, man, that you're exposed to. You know, even if you have it at a hall. Even if it's not in your home.
Yes.
But you invited people to this hall, you are still liable. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of stuff just around homeowners insurance that we can talk about to help our audience understand more about this phenomenon. Because it is amazing.
Right.
Coverages that you can get or don't want to get caught without.
Well, Tony, I think that's our show today. That's the time flies, man.
Too fast,
I enjoy talking with you. That's what it is. We be in here. Like,
same here.
Sometimes the producer of the radio station say, Chauncey, y'all not having a regular conversation. You got to be on the mic.
Right.
So I'll be talking to you, just learning so much. And, you know, it's just fun being here with you. But today we just covered covering your homestead and knowing your investment that you made. Keep your investment. Stay vested in it. Don't buy something and just pay the taxes on it. Make it better. Make sure you pay attention to your insurance coverages. Review them annually.
Yeah.
Right. And see, look at that declaration page and see what your coverage is and know about your liability, like you said. And we're going to be getting more and more into the insurance needs to finish this month out. I know I wanted to get into car insurance policies. I know we talked about that a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But just breaking it down and just seeing a little bit better. But today we just wanted to cover the homestead.
And yeah. Because you know what, though, Chauncey? For probably 90% of our listening audience, that will be the greatest investment that they'll make in their lives.
I'm still weighing on mine right now. I say I want to be at a certain location, like you said.
So it's location, location, location.
And I got to get myself financially to that place so I can be at that location so I can be an older man. Like, this is where I want to be the next 20 years. You just can't say, just get something and say, I'm going to be here. No. When I look at it, it's like it's long term.
Right.
It's not like a car. Like, I'm going to take this back. No, you sign on that dotted line. You got that deed.
Because it's a depreciating asset, too. Remember, that car is depreciating asset versus that home we talked about. It's an investment.
And especially with the location being a great concern for me. So that's key. So that's what I've been waiting on for myself. So we're just not talking stuff. we're really learning in here and gleaning from each other and sharing with you that you could do better too. And just all you have to do. No man is an island.
No.
You can't do it all by yourself. It's always worth calling somebody.
Yep.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. 103.7 The Beat.